with a heart full of praise.
With a heart full of praise.
Be exalted, O Lord.
Be exalted,
O Lord.
My God.
In the awesome.
Hey, Let us be on our feet this morning. Again, I welcome us to the presence of the Most High, those present here and as well those connected online from the corners of the world. I believe the Lord is going to bless us all richly in the name of Jesus. Let us just open our mouth to appreciate the Creator of the universe for the beauty of this beautiful morning. Let us thank him for the dangers of the night and same battles he, the Lord, fought for us. If he opens our eyes to see what transpired while we were asleep, we will bless him the more. Just open your mouth, begin to thank God. Thank him for the dawn of this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank him for your family. Thank him for the service. Thank him for the things he's done, the things he's yet to do, and the things you are expecting him to do today. Open your mouth and begin to talk to the Creator. Thank him. Give him all the praise. Give him all the honor.
Whenever
yes, Jesus.
I see
We worship
another
you, Jesus. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, Lord.
I say thank
you. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We are grateful, Lord.
Whenever I see another breaking,
we worship you. We worship you. We worship you.
I say thank you.
We worship you, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you.
Thank you,
yes, Father, we worship you.
Whenever I see,
we worship you, we worship you, we worship
you.
Yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus.
Thank you for life, Lord. Thank
you. Oh, Emmanuel, we give you praise, Lord. Yes, Father.
Another breaking, I say thank you, Lord.
Thank you for today's service.
I say thank you, Lord.
Because He's going to meet you at the very point of your expectation.
Not
breaking.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Not this.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Yes,
Father. I say thank you.
I say thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Whatever I am now, it is by your grace. Say many, many, many are perishing. Whatever I am now,
oh, it is by your grace.
Let us pray. Our Father and our good God, creator of the heavens and the earth, Papa, we've gathered this morning, Lord, to be blessed of you. We've gathered this morning, God, to hear from you, Lord. We've gathered this morning, Jehovah, to return all glory unto you, Father. We ask, God, in any area, Jehovah, we've wronged against you, knowing and unknowingly, through our actions, through our behaviors, things we've done and things we've failed to do, Lord. Papa, look upon the cross, Jehovah, and have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. And here we are, God, to hear from you. Papa, pass through me, Father. Let me disappear. Appear in me, Lord. And let your strength be made manifest in my weakness this morning because of your people. And bless every heart here. At the end, Jehovah, of today's service, we will all rejoice and be blessed because we know you are coming down in your power and in your might. Bless the preaching of the word. Bless the praise and worship. Bless the prophetic declarations. And at the end, every heart will be lifted up again. In Jesus' blessed name, we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord as we take our seats. Hallelujah. Amen. Take your seats and we believe ye the Lord will help us this morning. Most probably we might be coming to the end of the Pauline episode today. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us. It's a journey we've started since last year, I think October thereabout. And here we are, part 24. We are now in part 24 of the Pauline episode. And I believe our horizon in terms of understanding the New Testament is now expanded. Now you can read a particular statement of Paul or a particular episode of Paul. You can actually know the time it was written and know the meaning of those things that were written, where he was, what was his situation then. I believe that actually makes more meaning to us when we read the Holy Scriptures. And I thank God for this time and this knowledge as we move in to see what the Lord has for us today. Hopefully, God willing, we may take revision of all those things next week. But before then, last time we were here, we talked about his release, Paul's release from Roman prison. We took the journey when he was arrested in Jerusalem, and he spent 2 years in Jerusalem in Caesarea, and Paul was extradited to Rome, where he spent another 2 years plus in Rome. And since then, we've been looking to see the outcome of his sojourn in the Roman house arrest prison. So last week, we saw that he was finally released after he appeared before Nero, Emperor Nero. And one of the reasons that we depicted last time of being the reason why he was released was that he didn't have any accuser, lack of evidence. Those that accused him in Jerusalem that were ready to testify before the governor, they couldn't make it to Rome. So the stationary time that was actually given for his accusers to be in Rome was 2 years. So at the end of 2 years, nobody showed up to accuse Paul of whatever wrong he've done, and he was released. So last week, the other time, last class, we looked at after he was released, he continued what we called his fourth missionary journey. That was what we saw in the last class. That was when he planted the church in Crete, where he now stationed Titus in Crete, and they mandated Titus to begin to do the work of evangelism in Crete, appoint pastors, leaders, all over those churches. And we saw Paul also move to Ephesus. Remember, during the time of his second missionary journey in Ephesus, he was actually driven away from Ephesus. But this time, after he stayed more than 5 years in prison, he came back again, visited Ephesus, and that was where he now stationed young Timothy in Ephesus to oversee the church in Ephesus. And again, we saw him going to Miletus, where he also left Trophimus there sick. And again, we are talking about his fourth missionary journey, the places he went. And again, we saw Paul also move to Corinth, where he also say Erasmus is stationed there. And again, we saw Paul saying he's going to Nicopolis to winter. So these are the places he went through after he was released in Roman prison. Hallelujah. So we applauded his missionary journeys. From those activities that he did in during his fourth missionary journey was actually when the book of Titus and the book of 1 Timothy were written. He wrote those books during the time of his fourth missionary journeys. So today we are going to look at what happened again after those journeys. And the book of 2 Timothy, that happens to be the final book of Paul, is the book, the only book that gives account of Paul's second arrest. So without the book of 2 Timothy, we wouldn't have known what happened to Paul. We wouldn't have known that Paul was again arrested. We wouldn't have known some of the things that actually happened to Paul. So Paul himself, dated there in the book of 2 Timothy, gave us clue of what happened to him after he was released during his fourth missionary journey. And again, after his arrest, the Bible became silent concerning the things, even to the death of Paul. The Bible became silent. But we are fortunate enough to know that there are historians that have lived during the time of Emperor Nero. These are, some of them are not Christian historians. They just wrote how things happened. And we've been able to depict from, or to extract from their records of actually what transpired, and is largely agreed. And so through these resources, we'll bring them together to actually understand what happened to Paul after the book of 2 Timothy. Somebody shout hallelujah. So please, let's open the slide and see the things we have today. Paul's second imprisonment. Now, the second imprisonment is his imprisonment in Rome, because we know Paul, on many occasions, was arrested. He was imprisoned in the Philippines, imprisoned in Jerusalem, imprisoned in Caesarea, imprisoned in Rome. So, the second imprisonment, we are talking about his imprisonment in Rome. We say Rome bonds Christians are blamed. Rome bonds Christians are blamed. Paul arrested the second time. Again, Mameten prison in Rome, Italy. So this prison is actually where Paul and other Christians, not only Paul, other Christians were imprisoned before their, they were imprisoned before their final execution. So again, we'll look at the upper chamber of the prison. We'll look again the tubillium chamber of the prison. Then these chambers, at least when we see people downplaying the Apostle Paul, it pains us so much because we've seen the pains this apostle went through in order to present the gospel to us. And with his own mouth, he said, he endured all these things for the sake of the elect. So Paul, enduring all these things, had the elect of God in mind. He didn't suffer for everybody. And that is why in our stand in the ministry, we say salvation is not for everybody. And Apostle Paul emphatically said that he is suffering not because of everybody. He is suffering because of the elect. How many elects do we have here? Put your hands together. Apostle Paul suffered again because of you. For us to enjoy what we're enjoying now. We will see that later. Again, we'll look at the access to the chamber. Again, we'll see Paul's letter to Timothy from Mameten prison. Again, Paul dies between 64 to 67 AD. Then we've looked up about this man in our previous studies, but for the sake of those who actually have not known who this man, Emperor Nero, actually was, we again refresh our memory to see how wicked this man was in his days as an emperor. So killing Paul and other Christians actually was nothing to him. A man who could kill his mother. So if the man kills any other person, you will know that he's a wicked man if such a man could kill his mother. Hallelujah. So we'll look at who was Emperor Nero to refresh our memory about the things we've known about him. Please open the slide. Now, Paul's second imprisonment. I say, after about 2 years of freedom, that is what we studied in the last class, actually that freedom, Paul enjoyed it about two years of freedom, eating amala and ewodu, okro, and the orishirishi of his days, enjoying free air and the rest. And again, they captured him and started feeding him with undone beans in the prison. So you could imagine how, you see, now we have a human right, we have UN that peeped into prisons to see how the governments are taking care of the people. But then it was strictly a kingdom, monarch. The emperor has the power to point at somebody and he say, execute the person, nobody will challenge. So you could see the tedious situation Apostle Paul and other Christians were in the prison to eat food. Who is minding if you eat or you've not eaten? So that was the pains they were going through. I said, after 2 years of freedom, Paul was again arrested under Emperor Nero and sent to Rome. So we can see that in that very scripture where he was already in Rome when he wrote to Timothy. Again, I say, the book, take note of this statement now, the second statement. The book of 2 Timothy is the only biblical anchor to the fact of Paul's second arrest. The book of 2 Timothy, that makes that book very powerful, very powerful. It's the only biblical anchor that we have today that actually pointed to the fact that Paul was also arrested after his freedom. Praise Master Jesus. I say, unlike the first Roman imprisonment, where Paul was in house arrest, people were visiting him, bringing food from outside. He was literally enjoying what the people outside were also enjoying, only that he didn't have freedom. But this time, Paul was abandoned, lonely, this time, and urged Timothy to visit him before his death. So in this very prison now, before Paul was, the first time he was in prison, he had all the visitors he wanted. He sent for people to come. But this time, everybody deserted Paul. Not necessarily some of them left him because they wanted to leave him. By this time, every Christian, they were in hiding. So many people were in hiding. But one of the things that struck my mind is that Dr. Luke, irrespective of the persecution against the Christians as of this time, Dr. Luke was with Apostle Paul. Luke was ready to die following Paul. Please, let's again applaud this great man of history that was with Apostle Paul, even in the face while others were running, hiding for their lives. Dr. Luke was there. So Paul was lonely in the prison. Everywhere was cold. No one to talk to. The friends he had, everyone has gone on their way. And secondly, Paul used the opportunity of the letter to pass the torch to the new generation of church leader. So the opportunity of this letter of 2 Timothy was actually where Paul handed the battle of leadership to the new generation. Let's quickly see the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. That was actually where Paul passed the torch. He said, take note now, I charge thee, therefore, before God. He said, and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2. So this is the time, the official time Paul was part. He said, he's commissioning Timothy now officially, and other people that we are of his fold, passing the torch now to him. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrines, but after their own lust shall they heap up themselves teachers, having itching ears. For he said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 5, the last. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So this was actually the book of 2 Timothy was the time Paul handed the torch of a leadership to the next generation, because by this time, he already knew that his time on earth is done. He knew 100% that he's going to die. So he's putting the missionary work in order. Hallelujah. Again, I say, Paul reveals his heart, his heart priorities in the book of Timothy, knowing his departure is at hand. He encouraged Timothy for sound doctrine, to be confident, to be endurance, to be steadfast in faith, and lastly, for Timothy to be consumed with love of the brethren and love of the church. Praise Master Jesus. So Paul was arrested because he was a Christian, not because he committed any crime. He was arrested because he was a Christian. So we will get to know what actually happened that made Paul to be arrested. He didn't commit any crime. So let's see the next slide. Rome burns, Christians are blamed. So we don't have this in the portion of the scriptures, but history, according to historians, they've made us to know that Emperor Nero, a very cruel man, a very bad man of history, one of the ones that the history hated, he wanted to bypass the Senate. You know, some of the things, before they do some things, the Senate have to approve it. So because he wasn't in good terms with the Senate, and he knew that whatever he brought before the Senate, they wouldn't approve it, he himself set Rome on fire. So among the 14 provinces of Rome, he was accused because he wanted to build a very magnificent buildings. He wanted to modify Rome to his liking. So he knew that the Senate wouldn't approve that. So overnight, as he was accused, he set Rome on fire. So when he set Rome on fire and they pointed to him, Oga Nero, Emperor Nero, you are actually the one that did this. So in order for him to remove attention from him as being the perpetrator of the burning fire, he accused the Christians of setting Rome on fire. That was where the problem started. I said, evening of July 18, a fire started in the shop under the Circus Maximus in Rome. In Rome. I said the fire quickly spread to nearby homes and businesses. Now, the fire burned for 6 days and seven nights straight, ravaging the city. It only left four of Romans' 14 quarters untouched. Out of the 14 places they have, only four was untouched, but 10 was almost damaged. Now, according to Tychicus, now this is the historian that gave the picture, he said, according to him, the people of Rome blamed Emperor Nero for the fire. They blamed him. History, the people were saying, this must be the handwork of Nero. Who knows? He must have confided in somebody what he wanted to do. So the secret exposed, and they said, this is Emperor Nero's handwork. Now, Emperor Nero, in order to shift the blame now, Emperor Nero responded deflecting blames on the Christians. You've seen it. This is his right now, unquote. Nero fasted guilt and inflicted the most exquisite torture of the Christians who were hated for their abominations. Christians were rounded up, arrested, interrogated for information about others in the city. And in the end, an immense multitude was convicted and executed. Now, when Nero, emperor, said, no, it's the Christians that did that, immediately he released his machineries. They started hunting after Christians. And when they arrest them, they want them also to renounce or to recount their faith. And some of them, when they call you, they say, are you a Christian? The people pleaded guilty. You will read in other materials, they will say that they pleaded guilty. No, they didn't plead guilty to the crime of burning Rome, they pleaded guilty to the fact that they are Christians. Somebody put your hands together for these people. They pleaded guilty to the fact that when they are asked, are you a Christian? They say, yes, I am a Christian. So they bundled them. Nero was doing so many horrible things against these very people. I say the reigning emperor Nero, a man known for his cruelty and love of a theater, made a scapegoat of the Christians for this disaster. I would just want us to watch a little playlet of actually what happened, how these people, you see, Emperor Nero at that time, we make their body of tar. He make their body of tar, they become combustible. He set them on fire. You see human being is tied. Human being were born, shouting, born to death. And what Nero needed was for the flame to give him light over the activities he was doing. It was very, very serious. Let's see a little clip of what actually happened.
Until you hear torture yourself.
I'll be as close to her as I can.
You may give the signal, Divinity.
Peace to the martyrs! Peace, peace to them. Take thy children, Lord. Numb their wounds, soften their pains. Give them strength, O Savior.
Seize that man!
Blessed are you, my children, who die in the name of Jesus. I say to you that this day you shall be with him in paradise. Here where Nero rules today, Christ shall rule forever.
Who is that man?
I think he is their leader, a man called Peter. He escaped us before.
But he said Christ would replace me. What sort of...
They're singing.
Even in death,
the lions will sing louder, I think.
Emperor Nero. What is being uttered here, in fact, what actually happened is not uttered here. They just minimized it. History says he will take tar, this korota, put it on their body, and he will light them, and they will start burning, shouting. It was a terrible thing. Praise Master Jesus. I say, according to the tradition and historian, as a punishment, Nero devised a grossly execution for Christians. He covered them in an animal skin, and he had them torn apart by dogs, and he dosed them in tar, just like I said, and used them as human torches to light the night sky for his dinner party. Chai, what a wicked man. See, it was the wake of the fire. Christian tradition maintained that the most important Apostle Paul was arrested and was also executed. So when Christians went on hiding, certainly Paul is not a one that you're going to intimidate with death. So they started going after the leaders, and that was where Paul, Peter, and the rest, they were arrested. Let me have the next slide. They were arrested, and Paul arrested the second time. Paul apparently isn't convicted by accusation of the Jews that brought him to Rome to be tried before Nero about 60-62 AD. After the terrible fire, like we've just said, that consumed much of Rome, anyone considered as a leader of the Christians in Rome will be subject to arrest and death, whether or not he is a Roman citizen. So we know Paul on many occasions has invoked his Roman citizenship to actually avail some of arrest. Now, even if you are a Roman citizen or non-Roman citizen, as long you admit to be a Christian, you will be arrested and ultimately executed. It was during this time, it was during this persecution of Christians that Paul was arrested, one of the leaders of the church. Let's see the next slide. Now, this is the prison. This is the picture of the prison where Apostle Paul was kept. And so, according to early Christian church tradition, both Peter and Paul were kept prior to their execution in this small building consisting of only two cells, one above the other. Remember, I said we are extracting information from historians of what actually happened. So let's equip ourselves with this knowledge. So this is the prison that Paul had referenced to in 2 Timothy 4:21. Let's see that, where he urged Timothy to visit him before winter. So Paul was in here writing to Timothy, that Timothy said, do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come to visit him. So Paul was in that prison asking Timothy to come before winter. Aristobulus greet you, and Prudence and Linus and Claudius and all the brethren. So Paul was in there writing the book. Thank you, the slide. Writing the book of 2 Timothy. Let me have the next slide. We've talked about the cell having two chambers. Let me have the next slide. The next slide, please. Okay, the upper chamber of the prison Paul was kept. You could see how the prison looked like. You see how it looks like. Say, the casa, that is the prison, was the only prison in ancient Rome. When someone was sentenced to death, they were brought here to await execution. So that was why when Paul wrote the second Timothy, he told Timothy that on his first appearance, he said, no, but so Paul actually came on his first appearance. Maybe he was made to recount his faith and he refused. So on his first appearance, nobody actually stood for him. So that was when he was now brought to this very prison to await execution. So when he wrote that his time of departure is now, he's writing from what he already knows, that any person they bring to the maximum prison, just like our Nigeria prisons, we have the medium prison, we have the maximum prison. So any person that goes to the maximum prison, before you even appear before court, two things awaits you. Either it's a capital offense or an offense that will give you a very serious sentence. So those that have capital case, they don't send them to minimum prison. So when you go to minimum prison, so you know your case is a bit light. But anything that brings you to the maximum prison, you know you are in trouble. So immediately Paul was brought here, he knows already he's in trouble, like we've stated, that anyone, they stay here to await death. They were brought here to await execution. Picture here is the upper chamber of the ancient prison where Apostle Paul was kept. Now we have the tubianum chamber of Meritum prison. Remember, it's two compartments. Say, below is the upper chamber, is a circular room called the tullianum. Now the name tullianum is derived from the Latin word for a spring of water. You say, and incidentally, the session of this prison does, in fact, house well. Now, according to tradition, the Apostle Peter caused the well water to spring up so that he might baptize his jailers. These are the names. According to history, what we are bringing in, we don't see it here, but let us believe that such a thing happened. So this is the second compartment of that very prison. You could see how dark it will be in the night. In fact, let us see the access, the only ray of light that they have in that prison. Let me have the next slide. Now, this is the ray of light that enters the place they've kept them. It's just like our underground prison today. They say when you go to DSS, they say they've kept somebody in underground. It's not solio. Underground means underground. It will be dark and the rest. I say, before the stairs were added, those prisoners who entered the tubulum from the cancer were lowered through a hole in the cancer floor. So that is the hole they opened there. They lowered them from there and closed the child. Immediately they drop someone there. Your heart will just die because you know you are in trouble. Hallelujah. And in the night, you will be wondering how you will see other inmates in there. So this is actually some of those things the Apostle Paul went through. And why did he went through those things? Let's see the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Let's see his statement why he went through all these things before we go back to the slides. 2 Timothy 2, 8 and 9. I say, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of... Now, he's now admonishing Timothy. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, verse 9. Take note. He said, because of what he stated now in verse 8, wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, as a one that have led the people that burnt down Rome. That is what you will see in here. As an evil doer, even unto this bond, unto this prison now, they charge me to be an evil doer. Something Nero himself knew from the accusation that he's the one that caused what is happening. And he could have mind to allow people die for what they knew nothing about. He said, but the word of God is not bounced. Please, somebody put your hands together for Apostle Paul. Put your hands together for Apostle Paul. So he was in there as an evil doer, that he led people to do something that was wrong, and we know he's innocent. Let's see the next slide. Now this is Apostle Paul penning down the book of 2 Timothy. Paul the age. Paul's letter to Timothy from Martin prison. He said, enduring hardship. Paul admonished Timothy. Paul's final letter in 2 Timothy, written from that prison, it is addressed to Timothy, who is still leading the church in Ephesus. Paul seeks to encourage him, and these are the encouragement. And so Paul calls on Timothy not to be afraid, but be strong as a soldier. You must have a soldier-like spirit in order to withstand the things that Paul and other Christians went through, and that is what he's asking Timothy to put on. He says, suffering is something soldiers must endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That is the verse. Let me have the next slide. Paul dies 64 to 67 AD. The historian Eusebius records his death after a second visit to the city, that he finished his life with martyrdom. So what he's meaning here is that Paul, like we are seeing the quote of Paul, Aristobulus is saying that Paul went first, which Paul actually said that his first appearance, nobody was with him. So this historian is concurring to that fact of what we are seeing in the book of 2 Timothy. Now the historian is saying it was when Paul came the second time now that he was actually executed. Let us hear from Paul's mouth in the book of 2 Timothy 4, 16 to 18. Let's see that with the King James translation. He said, at my first answer, so concurrent to what the historian already wrote, he said, no man stood with me, his first answer. So that was where he was sent to that prison. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid on their charge. 17. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. 18. He said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go back now to the second quote. Now, this is Jerome. Jerome is a well-applauded, a loud historian. He said, he then, in the 14th year of Nero, on the same day with Peter, was beheaded at Rome. So this is his own account, but I can't testify of the fact that both of them were executed the same day. Okay, he said, Peter was beheaded at He said, beheaded at Rome for Christ's sake and was buried in the Osium way. So let's see 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. Let's see 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. Now Paul is attesting now. Remember where I told us he was writing the book of 2 Timothy. So by the time of him writing the 2 Timothy, he had already gone on his first trial. And it is settled already that he's going to die because of the prison they've placed him. Now, Paul is writing, say, for I am ready, I am now ready to be killed. I am now ready to be offered. I have prepared my heart, and the time of my departure is at hand. He was just waiting for the executioner to knock the door, and they will mention his name, Paul, come out. Today is your day of execution. That is only what he's waiting for. So, verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished. I have finished. I have finished. I have finished. Paul said he has finished his course. There is no more. He knows his ending already. He said, I have finished. E-D. I have finished. End. He's finished his course. So as of this time of 2 Timothy, Paul already knew of 100% he's going to die. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He's jubilating that he kept the faith. They tortured him to make him deny Christ. They brought him first one. They said, Paul, if only you can say you are not the leader of these people. If only you can say, now I reject Christ, we will let you go. He said, no, I kept the faith. I pleaded guilty to be a Christian. I pleaded guilty to be a leader of the followers of Jesus Christ. So that is what he's saying. He said, I have kept the faith. He said, henceforth, because you've kept the faith, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So while Paul was writing this, his spirit man was actually alive, jubilating, because he has overcome. He said, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. There is a day he's looking forward to, and that day is the day of the better judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. He said that he, the Lord, will give him at that day, and not to me only. Not to him only, because Paul also witnessed the killing of other Christians. Those that were brought to deny their faith, and they refused. Paul is saying, I'm not the only one that was killed, though. There are still others that will receive this crown. But unto all them also that love the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for the Apostle Paul. So, Jerome, say, Paul was already aware of his death, certainly from the outcome of the first hearing. Like I said, very quickly, let me use 10 minutes to rush. We've said it before, to see the wicked man that is behind all this. Who is Nero? So, Nero is the fifth of the emperors actually that ruled in Rome. He's the number fifth, the bad man. I named him the bad man. That man is a bad man. Say, the above emperors reigned in the New Testament days, and Nero was the fifth of them. I say, after the death of the first emperor, Claudius Lysias, his legally adopted stepson Nero succeeded him as an emperor. This was the man behind all these atrocities and the execution of Apostle Paul. That is the man. The next slide, very quickly. First, about Emperor Nero. He was born, this is his name, on December 15, AD 37. His father and mother were the grandchildren of Emperor Augustus. Emperor Claudius was actually the founder of the emperors. He actually founded the emperor. He's the first emperor to rule Rome. And his fathers are the grandchildren of that man. At the age 3, Emperor Nero was sent to live with his aunt after the death of his father and exiled his mother by Emperor Caligula. Now, there was a war that broke forth that brought Caligula into power. So his father, Emperor Nero's father, supported the enemy of Caligula. So when Caligula actually took power as an emperor, he exiled the mother, that you supported my enemy to fight against me. So that was when he exiled them. They became homeless, they became nobody. A nobody person could be this wicked that God saved. Now, his faith changed when Claudius Caesar. Now, after Caligula, after his time, his death, then Claudius took over as emperor, became emperor, adopted him. Emperor Nero adopted him as his son and called his mother from Exide and married the mother. The mother that was sent Exide, this emperor now called the mother back and took Nero and adopted him as his own son. I say it was through this adoption that his name changed from Lucius to Nero. His name formerly was Lucius. Through this adoption, his name was changed to Nero. So Emperor Claudius Caesar favored Nero more than his biological sons, Ballimicus, thereby making Nero the heir apparent to his throne. Now you see this story of this man. He was a nobody, an exiled son, but grace brought him back. Instead of him to be humble, he became a tyranny. Let me have the next slide very quickly. Emperor Nero ascended to power in AD 54, age 16, after the death of Claudius Caesar, and was guided by his mother. His mother was now helping him as a young boy on how to rule the kingdom or the empire. By his ascension to the throne, Emperor Nero became the fifth emperor of Rome and the last of Rome's first dynasty, Leo Claudius. The dynasty was founded by Augustus Caesar, like I said, the adopted son of Julius Caesar. This beggar in beggar here is confusing me. Julius Beggar Company from Germany, please forgive me. Nero, Emperor Nero is known as one of Rome's most notorious ruler. At age 21, the Roman historian Tacitus and others in their write-up claimed that Emperor Nero had his own mother killed after he became fed up of her interference. The mother was advising him on how to rule the kingdom, and some of the evil things he wanted to perpetrate, the mother said no. Immediately he had the mother killed so that he can continue with his life. The next slide. I say he executed his wife. We are talking of a man. For a man to kill his mother, kill his wife, is it a neighbor or an enemy, a supposed enemy he will not kill? So I just want us to see the fact of the heart of this man, how wicked his heart was even before he started. So all the whole accusations leveled against him, me, I believe, because he can do that. He executed his wife, Octavia, on adultery charges. He killed Apostle Paul and Peter and many Christians, just like we've seen in those video clips. I say, when the heat became too hot for him, Emperor Nero committed suicide. So you can't do that against Christians and remain. Your water low will come. And that is why the scripture says, remember the scripture that says, that is in Isaiah, that says no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. So after Emperor Nero at age 30, his conscience now, he couldn't stand all those atrocities. And one day he marched on and he committed suicide and ended his life. Praise Master Jesus. By the time before he died, Apostle Paul already beheaded. Apostle Peter from also history wanted to, Apostle Paul also was to be crucified, but because he's a Roman citizen, you can't crucify a Roman citizen. So that was why Apostle Paul was beheaded. But when Peter was to be crucified, he begged them, according to history, he begged them, please, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way my Lord was crucified. Please, can you turn me upside down? So that, they were faithful to death. Peter pleaded. He said, I'm ready to die, but please, let me die this way. My Lord that I am standing faith with, I am not worthy to die the same way he died. Please, turn my cross up upside down because I have served him. Put your hands again together for Apostle Peter and the rest. By the grace of God, this brings our Pauline episode to an end. (Laughter) I believe it's we've enjoyed the journey. Part 24. Please, I don't know if anyone has any contribution or question based on what we've taught since from the Pauline episode, and God helping us, maybe we'll see if we can take revision of that. Any contribution or question based on what we've learned so far from the 24 parts? Yeah, part 24. Wow. How serious. So you see what the other early Christians went through, that we, our own is butter and bread. Boko Haram, nobody wants to go. Yes, let me have that question, man.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I really thank God for our brethren, the early apostles and the early Christians. Through this teaching, especially today, the persecution, how the Christians were persecuted. I was just sitting down and meditating that in this our dispensation of Christianity, we are just starting, we have not started to serve God. We don't know the Jesus we are serving. Because I saw the lions devouring my fellow human beings. No place to hide. They still resisted to the end. But in this our time, to come to church, to serve God, we are being forced. You know? Small thing, we will backslide. We pick faults from one another. When a brother offends, a sister offends, because of that reason, you will stop coming to church because of a brother or a sister. So this teaching, we have to go back and know where we have defaulted so that we will rise and serve God. Because to me, through this teaching, we have not started to serve. In short, we don't know the kind of Christ we are serving. So I believe that this teaching will bring us down for us to repent and come back to Christ and serve him in truth and in spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Please put your hands together for our mommy. Yeah, the truth again of it, mommy, is that I have started. We've started. That is why our fight is against those who wants to hold the same position with Apostle Paul. When Paul says he's apostle, you want to say you are apostle. So you see, there is no comparison. The fact is that Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 10, he said, therefore I, Paul, endure all things for the what? For the elect's sake. So it was the elect's sake, you and I, that the foundation was built. Praise Master Jesus. So they went through those things, God having you and I in mind. So we are now building upon the foundation they've laid already. Praise Master Jesus. That is what we're building. So we've already started, but thank you for your admonishment. It's for us now to reflect, to say, is it the same crown Paul is talking about that these people received, that we are still going to receive? Certainly you've seen what they went through. But he, the Lord, will bless us as you gave us the admonishment for us to take our journey with Christ very seriously. God bless you, man. Okay, let me have that last question.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to ask a question.
Go ahead, sir.
We have had some preachers and big men of God advising Christians to take arms and defend themselves, like people in the north or people that are facing other opposition, like this kind of opposition. Now, I want to ask, is there a place for self-defense when it comes to Christian faith? Can I take up arms and defend myself and still be a Christian? Because these people that we just watched now, I don't think they even have any means of defending themselves. Even if they have, they choose to die with Christ. So is there a place for self-defense in Christian work?
Okay, God bless you, sir. Very sorry, let me use you as, you are married. You have kids.
Yes.
And in your house, you locked your door before you slept this morning before coming to church.
Yes.
Now, if peradventure your door was broke and people came in your house,
okay.
Your children, they stood everybody up.
Okay.
And they belloped you to kill you. The man turned back, maybe collected your money. He turned back and placed his gun here and started counting his money. Will you wait for him to finish counting his money, or you will do something?
The context of my question
Yes.
has to do with Christian faith. not when I'm robber.
No, when you talk of Christian faith, we are not violent. We are sheep. We are sheep. I'm talking of individual defense. We are sheep. There is no way any Christian will ask, or any preacher will ask Christians, take up gun to start fighting in your faith. There is no way in the scriptures that is recorded. No way. But I'm talking of individual self-defense. So when you have that opportunity, let me finish counting this morning. You see you, maybe it's an somebody who sent them to assassinate you. So he's waiting to finish the money and you got the opportunity. Oga, I will not only break your head, I will dismember all your bodies. Put your hands together for the Lord. Okay. Okay, let me take that person.
Okay, sir, it's not really a question. I would like to make a suggestion.
Go ahead.
You've actually done a very in-depth study on the Pauline epistle. It's in 24 series parts. I'd like to suggest that it be made into a book, because you've done an in-depth study so that we can always have something to reference back to, a hard copy. Thank you.
100%, 100%, I'm going to do that. 100%. Thank you very much for that. And the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Please, let's be on our feet as we begin to, if more questions tomorrow, you are free to call in as the pastor. You can ask me, I will answer through there too. Hallelujah.